Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him, and He loves us. He loves us all so much. You know, in society, there are those that miss the mark, and they made decisions that they desperately wish they didn't make. But while they had a worldly interest, they made decisions according to their worldly interest, and things didn't go right. And then there are those that were tempted. Everybody gets tempted to do something that they shouldn't do. And then there's always those that manage not to follow through for whatever reason. And they didn't make the worst decision, but they wanted to, but they didn't, for whatever reason. And then they go forward and get married, and they do all right. But they wanted to do what everybody else was doing. They either didn't have the courage to do it, or they didn't. They were too shy, or somebody was praying for them, and the Lord had His hand on their life. Or they just took the high road. I'm not doing that. And I thank God for the stuff that we don't do. But when people make decisions and then it turns out it all goes south, God still loves that soul. And that's something that must be remembered. Now, when there's no attachment to a person, on average, people would like to see them serve justice. But if it was their child, their brother, their sister that made the negative choice, then a same person will want mercy. If you go to any jury, and I mean any juror, any jury, and the person did a hideous crime, they wanted, you know, most people want to see justice served. But if they knew the person, or if they were kin to the person, or knew somebody in their family, they would automatically look at it different. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's not about whether they may deserve justice, but you want to have mercy on them. And that's the heart of God. God doesn't rejoice in a wicked man's death. So when people look at life without attachment to people, they can easily, yes, just throw them in the clink, put them on death row, whatever, because they don't have a bond towards that person. That's a soul. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be put in the clink or not be put on death row, and sometimes they should be, even if, because you're dealing with societal justice. And When people are punished for their crimes, it's a deterrent for the living. But I'm talking about the mercy of God. I'm using natural justice system to show that the mercy of God, God's still interested in the person's soul and what happens to them. If they can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and come to Jesus and be sincere, the Lord will be thrilled to receive them. That's the point I want to make. That's why I say the Lord loves His people. Not just those that are good and honorable, but people that have done shameful things. A lot of people are living in shame. They've done things that they can't stop. They put things in motion and they can't get it back. It's going to forever be in motion. So, you know, a lot of people have shame because of their past. And on the front side, when you're listening to the music and it's advocating sex before marriage, so to speak, a lot of guys want to sleep with the girls. They're not thinking about the future, how it's going to affect people in the long run. And they have children, or they sleep around. And then when they're out in public, they see somebody that they were once with. And that person may have a family, and they may have a family. They're ashamed. In their, they didn't know this when they were listening to the music and having fun with their friends and trying to do these things. But see, those every sin wounds the soul. It does something against your soul. That's when God said, "Don't." When He the things that He tells us not to do, He's looking at the long-term effect. But see, people narrowly focus on the short-term pleasure, not the long-term effect. And then the children that's born, and they don't know who their daddy is, or who, or you know, they feel a certain way. They feel like, maybe I'm not worthy. I had a lady ask me one time. She said, if a person's born out of wedlock, will God still save them? This was like a thing that she carried all her life. And she asked me this. I said, God loves all of us, whether we're born in wedlock or not. He loves you just like He loves His people, just like Jesus, every soul. See, in society, society can be cruel as the Pharisees. You know, they accused Jesus of being fatherless. He didn't know who his father was. But they didn't know that the angel visited Mary and the Holy Spirit enabled her to carry Jesus. And then Joseph, she was pregnant before she was married. But she was betrothed, but they didn't have the ceremony yet. So, see, the Lord knows what He's doing. He knows what He is doing. He had to do it that way. If in Jewish custom, once you get married, you go and consummate your marriage. But she had to be born of a virgin. See, the Lord know how to identify with the average person. If you give them a chance, sometimes people look at how they feel and how things have gone and how things are not right, and they focus on it. But when you focus on the Lord and do it His way, He knows how to take the pain away, and He knows how to take the shame away. You have to forgive the past. People have to forgive themselves of the past. And your past is not a disqualifier if you believed on Jesus Christ. That's a fact. And that's a fact for everybody. You know, Jesus, when they were going to stone Mary, you know, when they caught her in prostitution, they wanted to stone her. And the crowd gathered with their rocks. Jesus said, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. He wrote on the ground some stuff. He went back to doing his portrait. And they dropped their rocks, starting with the oldest, because everybody gets tempted. Everybody has done wrong. They thought about their sin and stoning a young girl. And they knew she may not be worthy to live, but they're not either. Then, when they were all gone, even the youngest one, they eventually left too. Jesus said, woman, where are your accusers? And they were gone. He said, neither do I accuse you. So we have to consider what Jesus did right here. He's letting society know, I love you and I mean it. You can live forever through Christ. And that's what people must focus on. The people that carry shame must do the same thing. You've got to forgive yourself. And stop looking at the past and start looking at Jesus. He's the author and finisher of your faith. He began a good work in you. He will complete it. And He will do away with your shame, guilt, and even the current problems, the current temptations, current greeds that wound us and weigh us down. In this life, you have to focus on the Lord. all the battles of Israel. The Lord gave me Judges chapter 6 this morning. And it begins saying something strange. It says, "And the children and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years." Now this is after the previous battle, after the battles of when Deborah was the prophet. And it was after Joshua, after the all the battles that went before them, all throughout the book of Joshua. Then Joshua died. They kept going back to what? Sin. They kept going back to evil. They kept, you know, an enemy would rise up and the Lord would give them victory. You know, in Judges 4, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, and that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. So here's another problem. They did evil. Now they got a war. Then they got victory through Deborah, Barak. And then a woman nailed Sisera's head to the ground with a tent nail. Now it's down to Gideon. Judges 6, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. God raised up another judge to get them out of the mess that they got themselves into. Now this is the point. That this is what I saw this morning when I looked at that verse. You can't coast in a negative society. You have to be proactive. You have to look at the Lord before evil consumes you. When people live in society and they just look and try to do what everybody else is doing, people are tempted. Everybody's tempted to do evil. Some people resist it more than others. And then, but once and the way the enemy gets one over on society, he tempts everybody individually to fear what society believes collectively, and they compromise there. And they end up doing the same thing, not rocking the boat, not going along to get along, not speaking up, not living the life. That's why Jesus said, "Let your light shine. Let it shine. You don't have to make it shine. You just do what's right. Because it's right. And that's how you live. You don't have to compromise. When people are doing wrong, let your friends know that's not a good idea. I ain't doing that. And tell them why. And what happens is, see, righteousness is stronger than unrighteousness. Much stronger. Much stronger. And men need to see men loving God again. And stop taking the low road. When people keep taking the low road and you taking the high road, they're going to look across the street and see you taking the high road. You're spending time with your family playing football in the front yard or whatever. And you're at home with your child every day, helping them with their homework. You're sitting on the front porch with your wife. And they cheating on their wife. And they entertaining the jokes of their stupid friends, and the crazy songs on the radio that promotes it, and then the wicked shows on TV that promote it. But when you have a person that break through, men need to see men breaking through, and then I've been around a lot of men. If they see other men breaking through, they'll say, you know what? That he's living a better life than I am. and they see a man being a man for the right reasons. And see, the way the enemy got my friends and me years ago, if you don't do this and that, you just a sissy. Well, if that's what you're focused on and that's how you see life, then whatever they're trying not to be a sissy over is a good idea. Until you have somebody showing you the right way of life. You have to have vision, or the people will perish. You cannot live without vision. You got to get it from God. Without vision, the people perish. If you're focused, whatever you focus on, if you're focused on the wrong things, you're looking at it with tunnel vision. You're not looking at the huge picture. You're not looking beyond time, beyond the moment. And you don't see what's going to happen. And there's no way to process it. But when people do the right thing, then it's honorable. And see, everybody wants honor. But you can't have honor if you know that you're wrong. And if you did something that caused shame. Unless you look to Jesus and he makes you righteous. Now you know, hey, I did wrong. And when you tell people, this is what I did, and I hate I did it. I wish I didn't do it. But the Lord saved me, and I didn't deserve it. Now that speaks a volume to people. But see, that's why I don't like classifying people. You know, Europe was terrible with that, especially Britain. You had the noble class, the wealthy class. You know, some people were barons and earls and counts. They had classes. Everything meant something. I forgot them all, but I think a baron was a landowner. So I used to look into it. Because I said, what is a count? What is an earl? What is a baron? You know, what? They had these titles, you know. Then you had the peasants. And so the royal people didn't like their people marrying a peasant. You know, but see, guess what? In the kingdom of God, anybody that's washed in the blood of Jesus, they became a king and a priest. It doesn't matter what your family did for a living. Whether you worked every day, worked the fields, if you were a peasant, a beggar, if you were wealthy, if you were a banker, a wealthy banker, whatever it was, Jesus welcomed you into the kingdom of God. And then you say, well, they're not educated. They're not this and they're not that. Every child of God has potential. And see, God, after God take people that's an underdog and just turn the world upside down with them. Peter, you know, our apostles, they were fishermen. Most of them were fishermen. One of them was a Pharisee of all things. And God brought them out of the muck and the mire and the fish nets and everything and did a wonderful work. They became people. See, that's the thing. When you're made in the image of God, you have God's potential. You can do what he does. You can do like he does. You can be like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's going to help you do it. And the blood of Jesus made it possible. So, looking at it from the eye of redemption, there are no classes. There is no male, female. No, I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We're just people, part of the same body. But in the world, see, the world loves class, you know, the classes, the poor, the middle class, the upper class, the wealthy, the oligarchs, all that junk. If you got money the wrong way, you just a crook. And if you got money the right way, and you do dumb stuff with it, what's the use? But if you're wise and you make things go, you build businesses and you bless people, you do things for people, you get the word of God out. See, God made some people millionaires and they serve the Lord. Some people became millionaires, sometimes under false pretense, and then they put the money in a foreign bank somewhere and lavish themselves like they're crazy. And thank God's all right with it. The Lord said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. Let me put it this way. What is your mission? Is it to just have a good time here? Or is it to serve Jesus? But Jesus said, told Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you don't have the heart of God in you, and you got a dead mission, you're going to do dead things when you get money, or when you become famous, or when you become powerful in the eyes of men. That's what happened to the Laodicean church. They thought they had need of nothing. They were wretched, miserable, poor, spiritually poor. They had possessions, but they're spiritually poor. They got a nice house in a gated neighborhood. They got a lake house. They got another one over on the other side of the country. They're part of a country club, the best golf clubs. They got airplanes, but they're poor. When they die, they're disconnected from everything. They can't go to heaven because they're without covenant. They walked out of the kingdom of God a long time ago. God tried to get them back. They wouldn't come back. They wouldn't learn of God. They wouldn't learn his ways. They got consumed. They focused on the wrong thing. See, when the devil changed your focus, he changed everything. And he takes everything. He come to steal, kill, and destroy, right? All right, you give him your attention, which is crazy. But you give him your attention, he's going to steal everything he can. Why your attention's on him? You can't glare at the TV and you know it's wrong. Once you compromise that way, it gets worse. And it starts in the heart. You can be an adulterer without touching a person. You have to reject these concepts. It's not of God. He that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. They knew that they had sinned. But see, Jesus delivered us from that. You don't take what's not yours. That's just not the way to do things. You have to do it right. But see, in society, every brand new society, you know, all the other generations up to chapter 6, they got a spanking. They repented. But they didn't learn from it. You have to learn from the past. You can learn from the past. You can do the shameful things. The Lord will save you. And the Lord will help you heal. And the people you hurt, the Lord will help them heal. If they'll let him. You have to go back and ask people to forgive you of your crazy ways. And sometimes you have to do it publicly. Shame can be killed. You can kill it. You have to follow God and he'll help you deal with things. And when you see things the right way and you tell people what, you know, you don't have to hide the past because everybody already know anyway. If anybody did wrong, Satan always have, as crazy as he is and as sloppy as he is, he always have a cameraman. Somebody gonna see what happened. And they're going to talk about it. And they always will. And the news will travel fast because he's an accuser. He's motivated that way. So you can't take the enemy lightly. If you did wrong, somebody saw it. But when you rebuke the past, when you receive redemption from Jesus, you've turned your back on the past. You know, you rebuked, you repented, you rejected, you repented from it, and now you hate it. See, the things we once loved, we now hate. The things we used to hate, we now love. We love the things of God that we used to refuse. And everybody can identify with that because everybody's done it. Now, there are those who got saved as a child, but they wondered about sin. They did something. Statistically, they did something wrong. But anybody that believe, you know, I have to say this part too. Anybody that received Jesus and stick with him, they don't really have to sin. And it's possible that some people get saved and they just keep on asking, you know, seeking after the Lord, and the course of their life is righteousness. But wherever they gave place to the enemy, that's where they would have deviated. And some people would say, just, you know, well, I didn't do a lot of sin, so I don't love God as much as the man that went all the way down into the ditch. Well, all you have to do, if you want to love God more than a person that was mild in life, and you were mild in life, and you want to love God like and be just as devoted as the person that was forgiven of much, confess that you love God more. I did that. I said, Lord, to some people I lived a mild life. You know all my sins and what I did. Some things I didn't do. I'm not trying to sound like the man that was praying, I do this and I don't do that, and I'm not like this sinner. No, I'm not. That's not the point. I understood the concept. Jesus said, he that's forgiven of much loves much. Now, there are people I know that did much worse than things that I did. They did some things I'm glad I didn't do. And I get the concept that when they get saved, they're going to be so devoted to God. And they'll be more devoted than I was. But I want to be more devoted anyway. Even though I wasn't as forgiven as much. I'm not trying to sound prideful or haughty or anything like that. But I wanted to love God more. I wanted God to teach me how to love his people. How to love him. How to grow in that love. And be totally dedicated to him. So I listened to Charles Capps, and he taught about confessions, speaking things that be not as though they are. So I started doing that. I said, I love God more in a multiplied way. I will confess it, sing it, pray it. And so when God gave me something to do, I would act on it. That's how you avoid falling into the same traps that everybody else in society falls into. See, as a society, Israel did evil again. Again. See, here it is. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Here they go again, doing the same thing that their ancestors did. Now, when the war happens, people talk about it. You don't go and cause another one. If you're wise. But see, in order to not fall into the same trap, because everything looks good from a certain point of view, if all you're focused on is the pleasure of sin, without looking at what it's going to cause, then that seems to be a good idea at the time. And everybody understands this. Everybody has had evil thoughts, but they knew better than they thought about how it's going to turn out, and they didn't do it. They were wiser than people that acted on it. But when people get caught up, God still wants to redeem them. That don't mean go out and do something crazy so God can redeem. No. If you know better, do better now. Because you might not make it if you fool with sin. Sin is tricky and it's slippery. It's hard to get out of. You might find yourself falling into the pit. Because if the enemy know he got you, he'll probably try to kill you. He come to kill, steal, destroy. But if he can make a big fat mess first, he'd love to do that. But you, if he think you might turn to God, he might try to take you out while you're on the wrong side of the fence. And I knew that if I did the things that he was tempting me to do in 1987 and 1988, 1987, I knew that if I went down the wrong road, Satan was going to kill me. I understood that. But that's not why I asked the Lord to teach me how to overcome. I wanted to know. I wanted to honor Jesus with my life, and I meant it. And I did not know how to overcome. The Lord taught me while I was in the mess, while I was being tempted every day. And then I saw how easy it was. See, if you love people, you can't sin. If you can't fill your heart with the love of God and then go do something evil. And if you love people, you can't sin against them. If you eat off the tree of life, you just can't go and steal off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's just not going to happen. And John taught it this way. Paul taught it this way. Peter taught it this way. You walk in the love of God, you're going to win. Galatians 5, if you walk in the love of God, you fulfill the law. That's just how it is. Now, changing the focus. Looking to Jesus is the answer. Anything that you can imagine, anything you can come up with, God can cause it to be, because he can do exceeding abundantly than more than what we can ask or think. And we need to be using our faith to do so. Now, the last few broadcasts the Lord had me doing, though, it takes the Lord to prepare you for the next glory.